This is Playhouse 90. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, the makers of Andrews 18A, Bayer Aspirin, Insto Eye Drops, and Stern's Pine Tar and Honey bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Playhouse 90. Tonight, Playhouse 90 presents Keeping in Touch by Elizabeth Batts. Robert Millwood is the head of a large newspaper empire which he's built up through hard work and ruthless efficiency. He controls his family with the same dictatorial hand, browbeating his wife, refusing to let his daughter marry the man she loves, and forbidding his son to enter the College of Music instead of joining the business. Listen now to Keeping in Touch, produced for Playhouse 90 by Percy Seep.
At least I've not heard her come in.
Is Granny worse?
No better, anyway. Look at this letter, Celia.
Why, who's it from?
We won't hear any more from Father about wasting time at the piano when he sees this. Go on, read it.
Glad to be able to tell you that you have been accepted for the College of Music. Willing to defer your vacancy till you have left school. Why, Mark, I didn't know you'd been having an audition.
No, nobody knew. I didn't think I had a hope. The competition's terrific.
I know. Oh, you must have done awfully well. But this is no use to you, is it?
Hmm?
I mean, you'll be going into the firm at the end of next term.
I won't be going into the firm. I'm going to the college.
Oh, my poor sweet, you haven't a hope. For all our sakes, oh, don't start this racket now. Wait for a week or two.
Sorry, it's got to be now. That form they enclosed has to be returned within a fortnight. A parent or guardian must sign it and guarantee the fees, or I forfeit my vacancy.
Oh, Mark, please. Oh, I know it means a lot to you, but look.
Oh, what on earth? I say, where'd you get that?
Well, don't you know an engagement ring when you see one?
Celia. Who is it?
Who do you suppose?
Well, not Roy Stoner.
Of course.
But I thought you and he...
Oh, it's all right again. And nothing's going to stop us this time.
And when did it start up again? Where'd you meet him?
Well, if you really want to know, I met him with Louise at her flat.
Louise?
Louise Courtney. Well, actually, I've been there 2 or 3 times. Oh, not when Father's there, of course. But she often has these little informal parties on her own. They're good fun, too. She's a marvellous hostess.
Celia... What's she like?
Louise? Mm. She's a honey. I mean, one can quite see Father's point of view. She's so alive and simply oozing charm, and she's desperately intelligent.
Oh, well, so is Mummy intelligent.
Yes, but Mummy's not good at putting it over. Well, I suppose it's not her fault, though. By the way, she doesn't know about me knowing Louise, so don't prattle about it.
Oh, am I likely to prattle about her in front of Mummy? Anyway, how did Roy get to know her?
He didn't. Louise got in touch with him for me, through someone or other, and convinced him it's not my fault if Father has a superiority complex. Well, honestly, to hear the way Father talked to Roy, you'd think we were royalty or something.
Well, he's got something there. A newspaper king is a sort of royalty nowadays. All those high-level contacts and everyone toadying to him. No wonder he has a power complex.
No, he's welcome to it, so long as he keeps it to himself. But when it comes to treating me as Crest Princess... Oh, shush, do shut up, Mark. I thought I had... Oh, no, it's Mummy.
Well, darling.
Poor Mummy, you do look tired. How's Granny?
Oh, much the same, really. A little weaker, perhaps.
Is she... is there any chance she'll get better?
None at all, I'm afraid. One wouldn't want her to go on like this, though. Was that the front door?
Oh, yes, that'll be Mr. Edgar Percival, I expect. He wants to see Father.
Who?
Oh, an old weirdie who called this afternoon. I told him to come back at 6.
Well, you know perfectly well Father won't see anyone without an appointment.
Oh, yes, I told him all that. But he says his business is private, and that Father would know his name.
Percival.
All right, I'll let him in.
Oh, ask him to make an appointment through Miss Westcott.
Mummy, you haven't admired my ring yet.
Celia?
Not yet. Roy has come back, and everything's all right again.
Darling.
Oh, don't you dare be a wet blanket. It's all so marvellous. And this time, neither of us is going to pay attention to what anyone says. But I do want you to be pleased.
How can I? Anyhow, I thought he'd gone away.
And no one with a spark of pride could have stuck around after the frightful things Father said. It's pretty big of Roy to have come back after all those filthy insults. Being treated like dirt.
Here's Mr. Percival, Mummy.
Lady Millwood?
Yes, how do you do? Hmm? I'm afraid my husband isn't here. Mark didn't...
I'll wait till he arrives, if I may. I'm anxious to see your husband, though we've not met for, let me see, nearly 40 years.
Well, really, I don't quite know. This is my daughter, Celia.
Hello.
How are you, my dear? Yes, it must be close on 40 years. Millwood left Stallborough before he was 17, I remember.
Stallborough?
I was headmaster there till... but I dare say you know all this.
I'm not sure. I don't seem to remember anything...
I thought Father was educated abroad. Switzerland or somewhere.
No, he was a Stallburian. Most of our old boys visit us from time to time. Millwood was almost the only exception.
He never went back to see you?
Not once, from the day he left us. I've been able to keep in touch with nearly all the others. We have Stallburians all over the world now. And this brings me to the reason for my visit to Millwood.
Oh, yes?
Since my retirement, I've been at work on a book. It's to be called Keeping in Touch. The title explains itself, doesn't it?
What a cute idea.
I've recently discovered, quite by chance, that Sir Robert Millwood of the famous Millwood Press was R.B. Millwood, whom I chiefly remember as being constitutionally incapable of construing the simplest Latin verse. I find on inquiry that his achievements are common knowledge. But for the purpose of my book, I would prefer to hear from his own lips.
Yes, of course.
And there is, too, of course, the human angle. That plays a large part in most of my sketches. In fact, I must confess that I often find the man's home life more indicative of...
You seem very much engrossed. Or shall I come back later?
Oh, no, of course not, Robert. I didn't hear you come in. You know Mr. Percival?
Percival?
So you have forgotten Stallborough.
On the contrary, I remember it perfectly. And you too.
Was it in 25 you left, or in 26?
Well, whichever it was, it's longer ago than I care to remember. You've retired, I suppose?
5 years ago. Jenkins is headmaster now. He was after your time, I think.
Probably. I wasn't there very long.
5 years? You left just after your 16th birthday. Too early, I thought at the time, but there were special circumstances, I remember.
You appear to have a good memory.
This is now my main interest, to keep in touch with my old boys. They write to me, and several have sent their own sons to Stallborough. You're my boy Mark, isn't it?
Yes, you should
have persuaded your father to put you down for his old school.
Mark will be leaving school at the end of next term.
Now, why weren't you at Millwood House today, Mark? I particularly want you to spend as much time there as possible this holiday.
I didn't want to go there again until I talked to you about something else. Will you read this, please?
Yeah? What's this? College of music?
I didn't say anything before in case I failed. I didn't think I had a chance.
Did you know about this, Helen?
No, I don't think so. What is it, Mark?
I took the entrance exam and went there for an audition. I heard today that they've accepted me.
But, my dear boy, this is excellent. I congratulate you. I know how hard it is to get in. The competition is extraordinarily keen.
It means he's really good, doesn't it?
It does indeed. They don't accept anyone unless he shows considerable promise and is intending to make a career.
We'll talk about this another time, Mark.
I'm sorry, Father, but we've got to fix it up now. Guarantee the fees and all that. Otherwise...
I said I would discuss it later.
Yes, but if you leave it too late, you'll wreck the whole thing.
Mark,
oh, but
later.
Father, I don't want to go into your business. I want to...
Mark.
Oh, what's the use?
I'd better go to him.
No, I'll go, Mummy. I've got to go and change anyway. I'll look in later and say goodnight.
And that, Mr. Percival, is my only son, the heir to the Millwood Press.
You don't intend him to go on with his music?
There's no question of it.
He's not at all interested in your business?
Not at present, I'm afraid. Unlike Celia, who gave her father no peace until he found her something to do in Millwood House.
And there's a ready-made position waiting that I built up for him, starting from nothing.
Yes, yes. That's what I've come to ask you about.
Oh, then I leave you to have your talk.
You see, Millwood, I've spent the year since my retirement collecting material for a book about old Talburians. Naturally, I selected those who've done outstandingly well in their professions or who live in interesting parts of the world.
You expect to get this accepted for publication?
It has already been accepted.
Yeah. Well, let's hope your royalties will repay your somewhat ambitious outlay.
My pilgrimage, as I call it, has been a labor of love in more ways than one. It was made possible by a most generous gift, entirely unexpected, made to me when I retired.
And you spent it all on this, pilgrimage?
Well, I didn't need it for myself. My own small competence, carefully invested, brings in enough annually. I live very simply.
Oh, did you have good advice?
Thank you, yes. I took an expert's opinion. It was suggested that so small an amount had better not be split up. So it's all in Caraway United.
Caraway United? Mm. Yes. Well, paying a good dividend now, I believe.
Well, it's more than enough for me. Anyway, my manuscript was already with my publisher, but I persuaded him to allow me to insert an extra chapter. I feel the book would be incomplete without some mention of the Millwood Press.
Oh, very good of you to say so.
I've been told that you're actually a millionaire.
Well, you've not been misinformed.
Dear me. Now, I'm going to ask you to tell me briefly what's been happening to you since I last saw you. To put it bluntly, how did this come about?
Well, in 1932, I started working for the Stolport Herald as a hack journalist. And by 35, I was assistant editor. And during that year, I joined the staff of the Morning Sun, thereby realizing my ambition to work on a London daily. I became first assistant editor, then editor of that paper, and subsequently bought the Evening Express and Woman's Weekly Guide. In 45...
One moment. I can, I think, memorize the main trends, but I should like to make a list of dates and special events.
Oh, you can get all that from my secretary.
Ah, thank you. In 1945, you said?
Well, by the end of that year...
Please. You were married by that time?
I married during that year. In the teeth of severe opposition from my wife's family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yes, I see.
Oh, naturally, being who they were. And at that time, my vowel sounds still bore traces of Stolport. I dare say they still do, but, well, there's nobody who knows me well enough to tell me so.
Well, it's hardly noticeable.
Well, in 1946, I amalgamated with the Blakeney Press. In 48, I bought Blakeney out. By the way, do you want details of my various directorships?
Well, perhaps, though all this is a little impersonal, shall we say. I'd hoped to hear something about your feelings, your attitude to life, something more personal, about your family, your home life.
Oh, sorry, I thought Mummy was here.
Celia, Stop a minute. Huh. You're looking very smart. Where are you off to?
You'll never guess. Out.
Who are you going out with?
If you really want to know, Roy Stoner is taking me.
Come here.
I've told you, I'm late already.
Oh, really, it's time I was moving. I have a train to catch. I had no idea it was so late.
Yes, I've given you the main points, I think. Let me know if there's anything else.
Well, that's very good of you. If you could spare me a little more time later on, and I want your approval of what I'm...
Well, just ring my secretary and make an appointment. No, Celia, don't go.
Oh, Celia, darling. Oh, Mr. Percival, are you leaving us?
Will you show Mr. Percival out, please, Helen? I want a word with Celia.
It's been a pleasure. A very great pleasure.
Oh, Mr. Percival.
Thanks.
This isn't going to get us anywhere, Father. I'd have told you before if old what's-his-name hadn't been here. I've been seeing Roy every day this week.
Really? Isn't that a little hard on the poor chap?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, maybe I got it wrong. I was under the impression that he was in love with you, or thought he was. Surely it's a bit unfair to lead him up the garden path in the circumstances.
The circumstances being that we're engaged. I didn't mean to jump it on you like this, but you gave me no choice. And I'm not going to let you wreck things a second time.
Have you any idea how much you hurt me when you talk like that?
You didn't mind hurting me. And as for Roy, after the rotten things you said to him, I never expected to see him again.
Now, look here, Celia. You and I have always been good friends, haven't we?
Well, you can call it that if you like. I used to be terrified of you and think you were pretty marvelous, too. But that's all over now.
You're my only daughter. Can't you trust me to decide what's best for you?
That's just it. I don't trust you. I used to, but I don't anymore. After what you did, it nearly killed me.
Do you suppose it was fun for me, knowing you were unhappy and blamed me for it? If it had been even reasonably possible...
But don't you see, it is possible now. Roy's been offered a splendid job. Oh, not much of a screw to start with, of course, but an increase after the first year.
Has he got this job?
Well, it's not actually buttoned up yet, but it's practically in the bag. He's to have another interview with Mr. Ormerod. Wednesday, I think it is.
Ormerod? Is that Giles Ormerod?
Yes, I believe Roy said Giles. Well, not that he calls him that. Mr. Ormerod's quite old.
Several years younger than I am.
Oh, well. I mean, it's his own business. He built it up himself.
Yeah, I know. He's not doing badly. Now, if Stoner gets in there, I've no doubt he'll soon be in a position to support a wife, according to some standards. But it's not going to be you.
You can't bully me now.
It hasn't occurred to you, I suppose, that the persevering Mr. Stoner might have more than one motive for his persistence? Now, don't misunderstand me. I have the highest opinion of your personal magnetism. But let's face it, you are Celia Millward, and he's a penniless young man with his way to make.
That's a devilish thing to say. Oh, I can't talk to you. You make me sick. Every time a man looks at me, you think it's because I'm your daughter. Can't you realize people loathe you so much? It's not an asset to be a Millward. It's a liability.
Ormerod. Ormerod. Giles Ormerod.
sorry, I didn't know anyone was in here.
You're Mark, I suppose.
Yes. Are you waiting for Mummy? Shall I get her?
Someone, the secretary, I think, went to find her. I gave her a note for your mother. I've asked if she'll see me for a few minutes. We've never met before.
Oh, I see. I'm not sure if, today's a... But Miss Westcott will know.
I think I'd better tell you who I am. I'm Louise Courtney.
Oh. Yes, of course.
Oh, it's not of course at all, I'm afraid. I shouldn't be here. But I do very much want to see your mother.
Well, the thing is, she's not really seeing anyone today. You see, the thing is, my grandmother died yesterday.
Oh, how dreadful of me. Oh, I do apologize.
You couldn't have known. It isn't in the papers yet.
Of course, I'll go at once. Will you please explain...
Miss Courtney?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm afraid so.
Mark, would you go and help Miss Westcott with that list?
Right, yes.
Oh, please. You must believe that I wouldn't have come if it hadn't been urgent.
I must confess I can think of no reason, no possible circumstances.
I know. It must seem inexcusable. But there's something I felt I ought to tell you. But I quite realize that you don't want to see anyone today. I've only just heard about your bereavement.
I think now that you are here, you'd better tell me what you wanted to say.
It's good of you. Look, do you think we might sit down? It's not very easy like this.
Forgive me, but I feel that the sooner we get this over, the better. And I'm afraid I must ask you to be as brief as possible.
All right, if you'd rather have it that way. To put it bluntly, then, I'm walking out on Robert.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, he doesn't know it yet. I thought I ought to tell you first, to warn you.
I don't understand.
Well, I know what Robert's like when things go against him.
You say he doesn't know yet?
No. And I don't think he's noticed anything.
Then does it have to be now?
Yes, I'm afraid so. You see, I'm going to be married.
You know, it's incredible that this should be happening. 5 years ago, I'd have thanked heaven to have heard what you're saying.
You must have wished me dead many a time. I wouldn't blame you.
But now, I've grown to be such a coward. I'd do almost anything for peace, mainly on account of the children. And then, Robert, you're going to hurt him so dreadfully.
Well, if it's any consolation to you, he's not going to be hurt. Not really hurt. I don't think he realizes it yet. But the fact is, he's been tired of me for quite a while. Oh, he hasn't faced up to it yet. But I know when a thing is over, and I prefer to get out of my own accord and in my own time, rather than be thrown out.
So you decided to get married?
Well, no, I don't want you to think that. Perhaps you'll think it's absurd for me to talk of being in love, but that's what has happened for the first time.
But didn't you... Weren't you...
Oh, I was never in love with Robert. Not even at the beginning. Fascinated, yes. And dazzled by his environment, by the high-powered atmosphere which surrounds him wherever he goes. Oh, I wish I didn't have to tell you this. It'd be better if I could say it's been the great passion of my life. But you see, it wouldn't be true. And I don't want to pretend with you.
No. I'd rather hear the truth.
So you see, I'm even more despicable than you thought.
It's just that I don't understand.
Why should you? You have to know what my life was 20 years ago, before I met Robert, to understand what it was like for me to be the friend of someone like Robert. And it wasn't just the money, though I'd never realized before how much it mattered, what money can do for you if you have it on that scale. It was the power. The feeling of being at the center, the high level at which everything is done, as a matter of course.
Yes, I know what you mean.
There's a sort of magic in the very name of Millward. Obstacles just melt away when it's mentioned.
Mummy, here's Mr. Percival. He says he was to meet Father here.
I'm afraid I'm a little before the time, I think. Millward said 12, and it's...
I'm very glad to see you, Mr. Percival. You have an appointment with my husband.
Yes, yes, indeed. There were one or two details, and the secretary said he could give me half an hour.
May I introduce Mr. Percival, Mrs. Courtney?
Oh, how do you do?
Delighted.
Mr. Percival was headmaster of Starborough, my husband's school, and he's writing his reminiscences.
What an excellent idea.
Your experience as a headmaster?
No, no, not exactly that. Rather a series of sketches on the subsequent careers of some of my old boys. Millwood has already given me some material, and he kindly said I might come back for more if necessary. I'd have asked for an appointment sooner, Lady Millwood, but to be quite truthful, I've not been too fit. My medicine man has passed me on to a colleague in Harley Street.
I am sorry. I do hope he's been able to help you.
So far, only to the extent of arranging for x-rays and some rather uncomfortable tests, of which I hope to hear the result when I see him this afternoon. Incidentally, these tests brought about a reunion in hospital with yet another of my old boys with whom I'd completely lost touch.
So Robert wasn't the only elusive one.
In this case, the circumstances were very different. Very sad affair. This poor fellow, I mention no name, has suffered a series of misfortunes which included serving a prison sentence.
Oh, how dreadful.
It was many years ago. It was a miscarriage of justice. That is now beyond doubt.
What was the charge? I don't suppose Mr. Percival wants to go into details.
I couldn't, even if I wanted to. The intricacies of commerce are a closed book to me. But it was called misrepresentation. Something connected with the advertising firm he'd inherited from his father. I believe that he was certainly guilty of negligence, gross negligence. But that he was not guilty of fraud has since been proved, though not till after he'd served his sentence.
But how monstrous that it wasn't proved in time to save him.
It was only his word against a mass of incriminating evidence. There was just one person who could have saved him, but this man, not wishing to be involved, refused to testify. My friend refused to give me his name, but for the rest, he's anxious that the truth should be made known for the sake of his children. In fact, he has actually asked me to include an account of the affair in my book.
How long was he in prison?
5 years. Physically, he was never 100%, and his tragic experience sowed the seed of that disease from which, I fear, he's now dying.
Oh, what a tragedy. And you say he has a family?
Yes. He will leave a widow and 3 children.
Mummy! Oh, Mummy, where's Father? I've got to see him.
Gently, Celia. What's the matter?
Oh, Mummy, do you know what he's done? He's been getting a Giles Ormerod.
Who's Giles Ormerod?
I've told you. The man who offered Roy a job. It was all but settled, and now he's backed out. Someone's been talking to him, and I know it was Father. It couldn't have been anyone else. Oh, Louise, do you know anything about this? Is that why you've come?
No, Celia, I don't know anything about it. Are you sure?
It must have been Father. It's the sort of thing he does.
Celia, please.
It's true and you know it. Louise does. She knows the form only too well.
Louise? I never knew. You didn't tell me.
Of course I didn't tell you I knew Louise. How could I? She's been an angel to me. Not like you always ganging up with Father against me.
Stop it, Celia. Now stop it at once.
You don't know what it's like here, Louise. He'd be all right if anyone had the guts to stand up to him. But Mummy lets him walk over her.
Pull yourself together and try and talk sensibly. I've got to go. But first, I want to hear exactly what's happened.
Well, you know the job with Ormerod was practically in the bag?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he now says he's been making inquiries and has decided Roy wouldn't be suitable.
Why should you jump to the conclusion your father influenced him?
I haven't worked at Millwood House for a year without hearing things about the father.
Be quiet, please, Celia. Lady Millwood, I know Giles Ormerod, and I think I may be able to straighten this out, if you'll allow me to.
Oh, Louise, would you really?
Only if you'll behave yourself. You won't help matters by making scenes. Hadn't I better take her home with me now, Lady Millwood? Would you mind?
Perhaps, but I think it might be better if she went to her room.
I'd rather go with Louise.
Well, it's for your mother to decide.
Very well. Thank you, Mrs. Courtney. It's very good of you.
All right. Then I'll say goodbye.
Oh, will you ring, Mr. Ormerod? Yes, one call,
please. I do apologize, Mr. Percival.
Oh, my dear lady, I'm only distressed that you should have had this trouble. If you'll forgive me for saying so, I thought when I came in that you looked very tired. I don't want to intrude.
It's only my mother's just died and everything seems to come at once.
Oh, I didn't know. Allow me to offer my sympathy. Perhaps I should come back another day.
No, do sit down. I like having you here. Oh, if only I were not such a coward. It's true, really, what Celia said. I'd do almost anything to avoid a scene. Although it isn't for myself that I mind.
Your children are your vulnerable point, isn't that so? We can all be brave when we have only ourselves to consider.
If I had only myself to consider, it wouldn't matter whether I were brave or not. I shall have a little money of my own soon now from my mother. I could guarantee Mark's fees at the College of Music and pay them when the time comes. What would be the use?
Your husband's quite determined to have Mark in the firm?
Oh, it's natural that he should want that. He built up the whole concern himself, and Mark's his only son.
I'm impressed, very greatly impressed, by what Millwood has accomplished. It's curious how people develop, often so differently from what one expected.
I notice that your memory is as good as ever.
Robert!
Oh, good morning, Millwood. Yes, I think I can say that my memory has seldom let me down.
Well, then, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Percival.
No, wait a minute, Helen. What time is your mother's solicitor coming?
3 o'clock, I think.
Then you'll have time for a rest first. You look worn out. You're not feeling ill, are you?
Not in the least. Just a little tired, that's all.
Well, Mr. Percival, how's the great work? Have you been able to find a place for my modest contribution?
Well, I haven't quite done with you yet, I'm afraid. If you'll just glance through what I've written, and then I'd like to ask you a few more questions.
Oh, ask anything you like.
It's very good of you to spare the time. Perhaps you'd like to look through the manuscript.
Thank you.
I would have come before, but a period in hospital unexpectedly brought me in touch with another Stolburian, and I've asked the publisher to include his story as well as yours.
So the Millwood chapter had to take a back seat.
Oh, the other matter was urgent. A very distressing affair in which I am going to ask for your help. But business first.
Yes. Well, this seems fairly accurate.
Accurate, yes. But as I said before, it seems a trifle impersonal. This represents you as an efficient piece of machinery. What the ordinary man in the street wants to read about is the man behind the machine. In other words, how did you do it?
Do you really want to know? Well, the answer's quite simple. By hard work. Work. Hard work, and then more hard work.
An efficient piece of machinery. Perhaps then my first impression was the right one. In that case, what I've written had better remain as it is now. Does it meet with your approval?
Oh, yes. As far as it goes. I must say, it's a good idea of yours. And a new one, I should imagine.
That's what Mrs. Courtney said.
Mrs. Courtney?
She was here when I arrived. A very charming person.
This morning? Here?
Yes, I was a trifle before time. I'm afraid I interrupted her talk with Lady Millwood.
Well, I find that, after all, I've got to go out again. If you've got all you want...
Yes, I mean, there is just one small gap to be bridged. The account you gave me starts from about 7 years after you left school. Were you in journalism during the preceding years?
No, it must have been 7 or 8 years before I got my first job on a paper. But before that, I worked for an advertising firm. A criminal waste of time, as it turned out. Oh, it seemed a good opening when I was offered it.
Advertising? What a curious coincidence.
Oh, a fiddling little concern. Bennett and Franklin, one of those small-town affairs handed down from father to son.
Bennett and Franklin, did you say?
Well, there was no Bennett in it then. I believe old Franklin had bought him out in his palmier days. Or maybe Bennett had had the sense to get out while the going was good. As I did myself. Well, they crashed, of course, just as I'd expected. Well, they were hopeless muddlers. Hello. Here, what's the matter?
I'm sorry, I think I...
Joseph. Fainted. Oh, can he be... Helen. Mark! Helen!
What on earth's the matter?
Quick, Mark, call someone. Get your mother. Better have a doctor. Some brandy, perhaps.
Wait just a second while I loosen his collar.
Did you want me, Rock? Oh.
I'll get some brandy.
Helen, for heaven's sake.
Just a minute, Robert. Wait. Ah, that's better.
Helen, he's not dead, is he?
No, dear, of course not.
He passed out suddenly.
Poor old boy. I thought he looked awfully ill when he came. Wait, he's coming round, I think.
In the pocket.
Here, in this pocket? Ah, right. I've got them.
What?
I thought so, it's his heart. These tablets.
Here's the brandy, Mummy.
Here, Mark, pour just a little.
Right.
It'll help him swallow the tablet. Babs to Percival. He'll be all right in a minute.
Can I get anything else?
No, thank you. This is quite unnecessary. I'm so sorry.
No, don't try to get up. You've had these attacks before, haven't you?
Just now and again. Soon over. Tablets always put me right. Almost once. I don't know how to apologize.
Oh, there's no need. I suppose it's overexcitement that brings on these attacks, or any kind of shock.
Yes. Yes, that must have been the cause. Any kind of shock.
You are listening to Keeping in Touch.
That was very nice, Mark. What was it?
Oh, you don't want to know in the least. And you wouldn't be any happier if I did tell you.
You're very happy, aren't you?
Yes, thanks to you. Oh, you've been terrific. Guaranteeing the college fees and all that. Though we're not out of the wood yet. He'll have to know sooner or later. And then, phew.
I wish you wouldn't talk like that about your father.
I'm sorry, but one's got to face facts. Oh, I wouldn't put anything past Father, especially as he is just now. Well, this last week has been murder.
He's had a lot of worries just lately. You ought to consider other people's feelings more.
Oh, hello.
Celia, darling.
Here comes the bride.
Oh, that's right. Spill the beans all over the house. Well, I want to finish this letter. I've got someone coming to see me.
If you mean Louise, I want to see her too.
How did you know?
Well, you see her most days, don't you? And actually, I rang her from the office. I wanted to thank her for what she did for Roy, so that we'll be able to get married.
Well, has Father agreed? I thought a deadlock had been reached.
Deadlock doesn't last forever. Sooner or later, someone's got to give way, and it's not going to be me.
Do come in, Louise.
Is this all right, Helen?
You're not too busy.
Not a bit. I wanted to see you.
Well, what's the position now between those two, Roy and Celia? He refuses to discuss it. Robert, I mean. But there'll have to be a showdown before long. Celia's very like her father in many ways. However, I've persuaded her to keep quiet for the moment, till other things have settled down a little.
Has it been very bad since I told him?
Yes, it's been dreadful.
I was afraid it would be. Oh, I've been so sorry.
It can't be easy for you either.
No, you're right, it wasn't. At first he wouldn't believe it. Then he got tough, tried to frighten me. Then he turned on the pathetic act.
You know.
Yes, I know. In fact, he gave me the whole darn treatment.
I'm so glad you warned me beforehand. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known what was wrong. I'd have put my foot in it through worrying about the wrong things.
Instead of which, you've been a tower of strength to him.
Not a very apt description of me, I'm afraid.
No, I mean it. You've changed since I first saw you. It's as if you'd got your second wind or something. And that's so lucky for Robert, just when he needs your help.
I think perhaps I'll be able to do better now, and that's partly through knowing you.
Oh, thank you, Helen.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, of course. Yes? Oh, hello, Mr. Percival. How are you? You're being careful, I hope. Oh, good. You just needed a rest, I expect. What? Well, I'm not sure. He's in conference. It'll go on all day, probably. Couldn't you manage it later on? Next week, perhaps? Oh, I see. No, I'm afraid it's not very likely, but you could telephone. Yes, early this evening. Very well, then. Goodbye.
Well, how is he?
He says he's better, and his voice sounded stronger, more decided. He says it's essential that he should see Robert immediately. I didn't like the way he said it, as if he thought he'd found out something rather unpleasant.
Oh, you can't seriously think the dear old boy can do Robert any harm?
No.
Well, he might annoy him, but as for anything more, why, Robert could make mincemeat of Percival.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of.
You know, Percival, this is getting to be a bit too much of a good thing. I thought I'd already given you all you wanted for that blasted book of yours.
I thought so, too. Unfortunately, circumstances have arisen. In fact, I've decided, after all, not to use the material you gave me.
Well, I'm darned. After all that palaver.
I prefer not to include your story as a whole. Though a brief allusion to your career is given as a footnote to one of the other chapters.
Well, I don't see the connection. Have we got a Stolburian working on one of our papers?
Not as far as I know. The matter I'm referring to dates from a time before the Millwood Press existed. Your first job, when you were employed by the Franklins, father and son. You managed to get out, you told me, before the crash. The crash which caused the father's illness and premature death, and the son's imprisonment.
I told you that, did I?
You told me part of it. The rest I learned from Franklin himself. Franklin the Younger, who was at school with you. He is now dying of an incurable disease, believed to be the result of his imprisonment.
He sent you here?
He has never mentioned your name. But I was anxious to include his story in my book. In this story, he refers to X, a nameless character, who alone could have supplied evidence which might have saved him. Franklin gave me full details, and from these, and his persistent refusal to give a name, I deduced that X was an old Stolburian. The publisher has agreed to include Franklin's story with the footnote in which, though your name is not actually mentioned, the identity of X would be obvious to anyone capable of putting two and two together.
You've sent that to the publisher?
I've told you. They've accepted it.
Which publisher did you say it was?
I've no intention of telling you, though I've no doubt that you have ways of finding these things out.
They weren't published. They'll never dare.
I can assure you they went into the matter very thoroughly. There's nothing actionable.
Oh, they'll be mad if they come with this, but they won't do it. I know publishers. They're far too scared of their own skins to take any risks.
On the contrary, they are prepared to publish it as it stands.
Look here, Percival, you're a man of the world. I don't need to tell you that I have to keep a pretty severe check on anything that's published about me. Though perhaps you don't realize that every time my name gets into print, it's liable to make world headlines.
I can well believe that.
Now, if anything came out that, by some stretch of the imagination, could be worked up into something troublesome, it wouldn't only involve me, myself. And I'm not just thinking of my family, but of my employees, hundreds of them, of millions of our readers, our shareholders, quite poor folk, some of them. For the sake of all these people, I'm sure you'll agree that it's best not to rake up the past.
It's no use blustering, Millwood. Nothing you say will alter my decision.
Look, Percival, what's it worth to you to drop it? 30,000? Say, 50,000. That sort of money would make a big difference to you. It would change your whole outlook on life, in fact.
Thank you, no. I would be unable to to use anything you could offer me.
No, think it over. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. Yes, let's see. What time shall we say?
No.
Robert, did you want... Oh, why, what's the matter? Aren't you feeling well, Mr. Percival?
I am quite well, thank you.
Shall I come back later, Robert? Would you rather I...
You joined us at exactly the right moment, Lady Millwood. I was about to ask your husband to put his signature to certain papers, and we shall need a witness, if you will be so good.
This is the first I've heard about any papers.
A few minutes ago, you offered me a large sum of money. Had I accepted it, in the circumstances, you would have been justified in accusing me of blackmail.
What does he mean, Robert?
Nothing was further from my mind. Well, there's nothing unusual in what I suggested. A friendly agreement between civilized people.
So that's what it's called nowadays. A friendly agreement between civilized people. Well, I'm not sure your idea isn't rather a good one. But remember, Millwood, you put it into my head. Do you think I might sit down, Lady Millwood?
Yes, of course.
I said, Millwood, that you had put the idea into my head. Yet I was not entirely unprepared for it. I am willing to do a deal with you.
I thought you would be.
The details of which are drawn up here in duplicate. They require both our signatures, after which one copy will be lodged with my solicitor and the other copy remaining in your possession.
You unscrupulous old blackguard.
Wait, Robert. Let Mr. Percival explain.
Lady Millwood, perhaps you would kindly read this aloud to us before witnessing our signatures.
I, Edgar Percival, undertake to withdraw the footnote concerning Robert Millwood under the pseudonym of X from the manuscript of my book, Keeping in Touch, on the following conditions to be agreed to and signed by the said Robert Millwood. I, Robert Millwood, undertake to make over the sum of £100,000 to the children of Eric Franklin, this sum to be administered by trustees for the benefit for the said children until...
£100,000?
The children of Eric Franklin?
Franklin is the poor fellow I met in hospital, Lady Millwood. You may perhaps remember he was sentenced unjustly, and this illness is the result.
Is this what you've been discussing?
It is. I think I mentioned the circumstances.
Yes, I remember. There was someone... Oh!
If I were to do my duty, I'd call the police.
I'm in your hands. Is the first condition clear to you?
It's clear, all right.
Then, Lady Millwood, would you be good enough to read the remaining two conditions?
I furthermore undertake to put no obstacle, financial or otherwise, in the way of my son Mark, should he wish to take the 3-year course at the College of Music.
What the blazes has that got to do with you? My son's career is my business. This is the most outrageous piece of impertinence I've ever heard. Anyway, it's too late to do anything about Mark's 3-year course, or whatever it is. The form should have been returned, a week ago.
The form was returned in time, Robert. I signed it myself and guaranteed the fees.
What?
The third and last condition, please.
To put no impediment in the way of my daughter's marriage to Roy Stoner.
What the deuce do you know about that? Who told you?
Never mind who told me. In any case, I am uncertain of the details. The terms of this condition are based on my knowledge of you.
If you must know, I've always regretted that Franklin business. But it happened a long time ago, and you don't know all the circumstances. I'll go and see Franklin, or do anything you like to suggest. But I won't have you meddling with my private affairs.
The conditions are not to be separated.
Come on, let me look at that again. As for prejudicing Stoner's career, he's not likely to have one, from what I hear. Ormerod decided not to take him on, and, I've not heard that he's been offered anything else.
Roy has already started work in Mr. Ormerod's firm. There was A misunderstanding, but that's all cleared up now. Louise Courtney went to see Mr. Ormerod.
Louise? Louise Courtney? How does she come into this?
She'd come here to see me when Celia was in great distress. Louise offered to put matters right.
Louise, oh, where's all this wonderful loyalty one hears so much about? I should be used to it by this time, I suppose. Struggling along alone with everyone against me.
You're not really alone, you know.
I haven't got much time. Are you prepared to sign this agreement? Or do you want to think it over?
How do I know you'll stick to your side of the bargain? I don't trust you further than I can see you.
That risk is the same for both of us. I write down the name of the solicitor who acts for me. Your own solicitor can get in touch with him.
He certainly will.
Furthermore, if you wish it, I will be the first to sign. May I sit here, Lady Millwood?
Yes, do use the writing table.
First, the solicitor, the address. Well, Millwood, am I to sign the agreement?
You can please yourself.
There. Now, Lady Millwood, if you'll kindly write your usual signature here.
Yes.
And then the duplicate, if you will. Now, Millwood, it's ready for your signature. Well, Millwood, I'm waiting.
Give it here.
Thank you. Now, if it would be possible to telephone for a taxi.
Wait a minute. I haven't finished with you.
Robert.
You came to my house uninvited and behaved as if it belonged to you, as if you were still lording it over your potty little school. You then proceeded to dictate terms to me. To me! So far, I've been lenient with you. I don't suppose you realized what you were doing. The implications are far beyond the grasp of your petty, provincial little mind. But if you imagine you can dictate to me and get away with it, you're making the biggest mistake of your life.
I don't pretend to detailed knowledge of your sphere of influence.
Don't fool yourself that your little affairs are beneath my notice. Better men than you have made that mistake. To their cost.
I don't doubt that for a moment. However, none of it concerns me. Nothing you could do can hurt me.
That's what you think. When I know how your capital is invested, when I could put Carraway United in a position in which they'd be forced to pass their next dividend in less time than it takes you to walk out of this room.
No, Robert, Robert!
I advise you not to put yourself to the trouble, Millwood. Perhaps I should have told you when I saw the specialist after I last came here. He was very frank with me. He told me 6 weeks was the longest I could expect. It might not be for so long.
Oh, no.
That was a fortnight ago. So you see, don't you, that I have an advantage. An unfair advantage, perhaps.
I'm so sorry. So very, very sorry.
Please don't distress yourself, my dear. With regard to the agreement, Millwood, my solicitor will get in touch with you. Though I shall not be here, he has instructions to keep in touch.
You have just heard Keeping in Touch, produced for Playhouse 90 by Percy Seif. You heard Bill McNaught as Robert Millwood, while Molly Thompson portrayed his wife Helen. Frank Spears played Mr. Percival. Others in the cast were Elizabeth Stoughton, Robin Malone, and Yvonne Fitzgerald. Be sure to tune in next week for another theater date with the great in Playhouse 90, brought to you for your listening pleasure from the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, by your hosts, the makers of Phillips Tablets and Stern's Pine Tar and Honey. So until next Wednesday's Playhouse 90, a very good night to you all.